Tonight is Wednesday, November 19th, or 27th day of the month of Cheshvan. This is the Women's Mishnah Shiur. We're up to the first parak of Maseches Kedushin on the mitzvah topic of Mitzvah Sasir Siman Gram.
Hey, Rabotai. We have spent the last two or three sessions identifying the source, the rather complicated source, which serves as the basis that women are exempt from all mitzvot aseh shehazman grama. Ultimately, the Gemara came to the conclusion that we learn it out from tefillin. Since the mitzvah of tefillin is recorded next to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah in the Shema, so we now state, just as women are exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin, of Talmud Torah, based on the drash, v'limadetem otamet b'neichem, drash v'loet b'noteichem, so we have established already that women are exempt from Talmud Torah, therefore, they are also exempt from tefillin, which is written right next to it in both parashiyot of the Shema. Now we conclude, tefillin happens to have a feature that it is a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama. Because tefillin is worn only during the day, not at night. And even if you believe that tefillin is to be worn at night, as there is such an opinion, everyone agrees that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it is to some extent zman grama. So since tefillin has that particular feature, and women are exempt, we now go to step number three and say, just as they are exempt from tefillin, which happens to be a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama, they are exempt from all mitzvot aseh shehazman grama. That's what the Gemara had said. The Gemara asked the question, why then is it necessary in relationship to the mitzvah of sukkah to have a special exemption for the mitzvah of sukkah for women based on the pasuk ha'ezrach? In parenthetical remarks, it's a difficult derivation. Why should the word ha'ezrach eliminate women from sukkah? Difficult to understand, but that's what the Gemara does say. The inference is that if not for that derivation, women would have been chayav in the mitzvah of sukkah, which would lead us to conclusion that women are obligated to observe a mitzvot aseh shehazman grama. Answer the Gemara, the machlokes between Abaye and Rava, no, sukkah is an exception to the rule. That even though under normal circumstances women are exempt from mitzvot aseh shehazman grama, I could have said that women are obligated to observe the mitzvah of sukkah. One, because of basukot teshvu shivat yamim, you shall dwell in your sukkah. And how does the Gemara darshan teshvu? Ke'ein taduru. You're supposed to live in your sukkah the same way you live in your house. Well, in your house, you live husband and wife. If that's the case, you should have husband and wife in the sukkah as well. Therefore, if not for the special derivation of ha'ezrach, under those circumstances, I would have thought that sukkah should have been an exception to the rule of mitzvah aseh shehazman grama. And that even though they are exempt from all of them, maybe they're obligated to observe sukkah. Parenthetical remark, sometimes we know women are obligated to observe a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama. You're obligated to make kiddush, because there is a derivation to teach us that there's an override. What's the override by kiddush? Zachor v'shamor. If you're obligated to observe shamor, the lav, the prohibition against milacha, you're obligated to observe the mitzvah of kiddush, the positive commandment. So I could have thought that sukkah is also an exception. So therefore I need ha'ezrach to teach me it's not an exception. Women are exempt. That was Abaye's explanation. Rava's explanation was, no, why would I have thought that women are obligated in sukkah? Because they're obligated to eat matzah. And we have a hekesh, tetvav, tetvav. we compare features of the Yom Tov of Pesach, which is the 15th of the month of Nisan, and the 15th of the month of Tishrei. It's called the Hekesh Tetvav Tetvav. So I could have said that just as women are obligated to observe the mitzvah of matzah, parenthetically, why? Because there's an override. What is the override for matzah? Based on the fact that in one pasuk, the mitzvah to eat matzah and the prohibition against eating chametz are in the same pasuk. So the Gemara derives from that, anyone who is obligated to observe the prohibition of chametz, and women are obligated to observe the prohibition of chametz, are also obligated to eat matzah. Then I compare all the other mitzvot of Pesach at night to matzah. So you're obligated to eat matzah, drink arba kosos, say to have the mitzvah of sipitzias mitzrayim, everything. Eat korban Pesach, the works. So I could have said, well, women are obligated to eat matzah, to eat in the sukkah as well, because I compare tetvav, tetvav. Hence, in order to avoid that, what did I need? Ha'ezrach, to eliminate women from the mitzvah of sukkah. But the rule stands. Mitzvat aseh shehazman grama nashim piturot. That's what we did over the last couple of weeks, plowing throughout our Gemara, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Tonight, we're going to see the application and the machloikis between Sephardic and Ashkenazic scholars, whether a woman is allowed to make a bracha on a mitzvah aseh shehazman grama, on any mitzvah which they're not obligated to observe. This is going to be a fundamental machloket. We're going to see lots of opinions and even situations which you would never have anticipated falling under this rubric, under this category.
Can I ask one question about what
you said? Of course.
So one of the rules is that things are juxtaposed right next to each other. That makes them seem symmetrical and equal in almost every case. Like learning Tomatoga.
Yes, tefillin and tefillin. Right, that's correct.
That's adjusted. And then the other thing is that they're telling you that, you know, there's...
Common phrases.
Right, and also if there's something that you can't do, but it's right next to the thing that you're supposed to do...
So you learn that.
Immediately learn...
That's correct. Correct.
So
juxtaposition, that's correct. That juxtaposition is called smichut. The fact that God wrote His Torah and put this... in the same context, there's got to be a reason for it. Smichut. And we learn out many halachot simply by the context of one is written next to the other. Smichut. The most famous of which is the principle that a positive commandment overrides a negative commandment when they come in conflict. The mitzvah of wearing tzitzit is written right before the prohibition of wearing shatnez. In Dvarim chapter 23. Now why is tzitzis next to the mitzvah of shatnez? Says the Gemara. Because if I have a four-cornered garment made out of linen, tzitzis have to be wool. So should I put on tzitzis or not? The answer is yes. You put on tzitzis. Aseh doche lo ta'aseh. How do I know that? Simply based on smichut. Tzitzis, pasuk 1. Shatnez, pasuk 2.
Why wouldn't I know that I have to do carbon tamid on Shabbos?
We already discussed that.
Right, but it's a...
Because carbon tamid, because the prohibition of Shabbos is what type of punishment?
Okay, but it's still...
That'll answer the question. A death penalty. And the rule of aseh docha lo taseh does not apply where the lo taseh is has misa. It's only when it's regular lashes. That's correct. Like shatnez. It's got to be exactly like the mold of shatnez. Therefore, if based on the rule of aseh docha lo taseh, I would not have brought the korban tamid on Shabbos. Why do I bring the korban tamid on Shabbos? Because Moshe Rabbeinu heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'dibur echad. He heard the words, Michalaleha mot yumat, v'yoyim ha-shabbos shnei chavasim b'nei shana tamimim. That's what the Gemara says. So when you don't have a principle, you make up something. God heard them at the same time. Okay, do we have any? Okay, it's very easy to say that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it to us. Okay. How can you argue?
That's the biggest override.
That's the biggest override. He said it. Good. So today we're going to start with Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam is found in Perek Gimel of Hilchas Tzitzis, Halacha Yud. The Rambam writes, I bracketed it for you. Nashim v'avadim ukitanim pturin min hatzitzit min haTorah. Women are exempt from the mitzvah of tzitzis based on biblical law. Why? Why is the women obligated, or exempt? Because it's a mitzvah cessation's mangrama. There's no mitzvah to wear tzitzis at night, only during the day, because it says uri tem oto. And we interpret the word iri tem oto that you have to have the capacity to see the tzitzis. Umi divrei sofrim, rabbinic law says, shekol katan sheyodea lehit ateif chayav bitzitzit kedei lechancho b'mitzvot. When you have a child who knows how to make ituf, ituf means to wrap the talus around in the way you're supposed to wrap a talus around, that child is now obligated to observe the mitzvah of tzitzis, midrabanan. So your kid is, now when he's 3 years old, there's no obligation to buy a pair of tzitzis for a three-year-old. When he understands how to make ituf, ituf is with a long talus, a regular talus, and to wrap it, either this, whatever, all different types of ways how to demonstrate what's called ituf yishma'eli. Fine. V'nashim v'avadim shiratzu lehitatef betzitit, women who would like to wear tzitzis, mit'atfim below bracha, are permitted to wear tzitzis as long as you don't make a bracha. Because the Sephardic world believes that the word vitzivanu in a bracha refers to me personally. When I say asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav vitzivanu, it means I am obligated. Well, you are not obligated. Hence, says the Rambam, no woman is allowed to recite a bracha on a mitzvat asei she'azman grama. V'chein she'ar mitzvot asei she'hanashim p'turot mehen. Other mitzvot asei she'hanashim p'turot, such as lulav on Sukkot, such as entering into the sukkah on Sukkot, such as the sounding of the shofar. Women are exempt from all these mitzvot because it's a mitzvah tasechus man grama. Im ratzula asotan belo beracha ein mimachin biyadan. Nobody protests it. Why does the Rambam have to say nobody protests it? Because there are some who say women are not allowed to observe a mitzvah tasechus man grama. We will see it. Some claim that you're not allowed to observe a mitzvah tasechus man grama. So Rambam tells you, Rambam says, no, there is no obligation, but no prohibition, provided that you do not make a bracha. Karo in Shulchan Aruch codes this exactly like the Rambam, and therefore all Sephardic women never make a bracha on any mitzvah which they observe, for which they are not obligated to perform. No Sephardic woman, when they pick up a lulav and esrog, will say al netilat lulav.
But they pick it up.
That's their option.
If they want to.
Does
this apply to anybody? So let's say there's a mitzvah that a man's not obligated to do. So same thing?
Anybody who that is correct.
Well, the child doesn't make a bracha when he puts on tzitzit.
Yes, he does. Because he's chayv midurabanan for training purposes.
Okay.
For training purposes. But this eved.
But we're not being trained.
Right. There's no reason to train you because you're never going to be chayav. Training is done for what reason?
For
when you're going to be chayav.
Right.
If I'm not going to be a doctor, am I going to medical school? Why would I go to medical school if I have no interest in being a doctor?
Some people want to be a medical legal lawyer.
Okay. But if I want to be a baseball player, am I going to medical school? No. Same thing. Why train somebody with tzitzit?
They're not training their children, though. They're not.
Okay, so that's a different issue. You're questioning another mitzvah to define the parameters of the mitzvah of chinuch. That's not for tonight. That's not a mitzvah. Shizman Gra has a whole shir about that. Who is the mitzvah of chinuch on? Is it on the child? Is it on the parent? What role does the mother play?
But assuming that the mother has a role to play in the mitzvah, right, of chinuch, then maybe she needs to know these things so that she, and perform them so she could teach her children.
That is correct. When you want to teach your child, your son, tarabin, you will say, hey buddy, here's the bracha.
I know it if I've never been obligated to or allowed even.
But you're a Talmud Chacham. Even though you're not allowed to make the bracha, but you've heard of it. I know. Okay. That's the Rambam's position. And as I said, uniform position for Chachmei Sparad. All of it. No one disagrees with the Rambam.
Why is there a discussion about Shabbat Suh?
Who would like to? What else is he going to say? No, he's saying who would like to. You don't know, you can't force any woman to observe it. So a woman who would like, how else would you say a woman who would like to can, but you can't make a bracha.
And you can't force women not to do it.
Because he said that because there are some authorities who say that a mitzvah saseh shezman grama, a woman should not perform. So the Rambam is trying to eliminate that. He's against that. He's against the position that said that you can't take a lulav. You can take a lulav if you so desire, but don't make a bracha.
And if it's a bracha levatala?
Complete bracha levatala.
And if you're doing it, is there a point to doing it?
Yes. It's a kiyuma mitzvah which you are not commanded.
Meaning what?
You get
the
implication is that you will get reward, but not as much reward as being commanded. Correct. That's the famous Gemara of Rav Chisda, who was blind. And there is a debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda whether a blind person is obligated to observe all mitzvot. So he said, excuse me, Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, anybody who tells me that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that a blind person is chayav in mitzvot, I will throw a party for the whole Beit Midrash. Throw a big kiddush if you tell me the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And everybody said, why? Isn't it better to do something voluntarily than when you're obligated to observe it? Here, if you're not obligated and you do every mitzvah, Rav Sheshes, you should get a thousand times more credit. Says the famous answer, Gadol HaMitzuveh Ve'oseh Mimisha Eino Mitzuveh Ve'oseh. Because the Gemara knows every teenager. As soon as you tell them, they don't want, just the opposite. The hachis, I'm not going to do it. So if you have a hachis personality, we're going to give you reward for overcoming that lahachis personality. But if you're motivated to do something without the opposition, so you get less of a reward. So the answer is you get a reward, but not as much as if you are commanded to do so. That's the Rambam sheet.
You're supposed to be able to see them, that's why you don't do it at night.
Tzitzis. Yeah, that's why it's not. That's why it's Zman Grama. What?
The blind person.
Okay, no, but the Asuma, according to some opinions, is patur from all mitzvot.
Right, according, I mean specifically,
no, because we say you don't have to see it. You never have to see it, tzitzis. What does Uri Temotel mean? They have to have the capacity to be seen during daylight hours.
Okay.
You don't have to see it. You don't have to look at your tzitzis. Never. Never have to look at them. Just aware of them. That's all. This is Rambam Shita. I want to show you an extension of the Rambam Shita, even though a bracha does not have the word vitzivanu. Okay? Flip the page to page 2. And this is a compilation of Ovadia Yosef's Tshuvot. Yalkut Yosef, one of his sons, wrote a digest of all of Avadi Yosef's Piskei Halacha. It's called Yalkut Yosef. And he writes in this particular siman. Correct. Nashim Piturot Mimitzvat Kriyat Shema. Women do not have to say the Shema.
But maybe they don't say it on time.
They don't have to say the Shema.
At all.
Because it's a mitzvah that says Shezman Grama. Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit is only recited 3 hours into the day. That's it. After the third hour, you're not mekayim the mitzvah kriya shema. So it's zman grama. If it's zman grama, by definition, women are exempt. No one says that women are chayav in the midst of kriya shema. As shocking as it sounds. Mipnei shiyesh zman kavua lekriyat shema. V'chol mitzvot asei shehazman girama nashim piturot. Umikol makom, in line two, nonetheless, ra'ui lohen lehachmir alatzman. They should be machmir and recite the Shema v'likro et Shema kidei lekabel alehen ol malchut shemayim v'ol mitzvot. See, kriyat Shema is a funny animal. Funny animal. And I'm going to use the Rav's terminology, Rav Chaim's terminology. By most mitzvot, the obligation and the fulfillment is the exact same action. What is the chiyuv of the mitzvah of lulav? What's the chiyuv of the mitzvah of lulav? To take a lulav. What is the kiyum? How do you fulfill the mitzvah? By taking a lulav. That's the case for 90% of mitzvot. There are 10% of mitzvot where the obligation is to do A, but the real fulfillment of the mitzvah is something else completely. What is the technical mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? To read these three portions. Just to read them. But that's not the essence of the mitzvah. What is the essence of the mitzvah? An internal thought process. Kabbalat ol Malchut Shamayim. To accept the yoke of heaven. The yoke of heaven. That's the first parsha. And just to accept the yoke of heaven is hot air, means nothing. It has to be demonstrated with what? The second parsha, Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. Because one without the other is like when I grew up in Borough Park in the shul where they had 40 people for Shabbos and 500 people for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and the rabbi wanted to read some things in English and he would read V'chol Ma'aminim, and they all respond, all believe, we all believe in nothing. They all believe this and this, and then they drive home from shul. We all believe. What do you believe in? What do you believe? You know, what's it? What do you believe? Kabbalat ol Malchut Shemayim has to be reinforced by Kabbalat ol Mitzvot. I'll give you another example. How do you perform the mitzvot of Avelut? How do you perform it? By certain actions. You sit on the floor. You don't wear shoes. Technically, you don't shower, even though today you can shower. But that doesn't mean that's the essence of Avelus. The essence of Avelus is an internal thought process that I understand and on the loss that I just suffered. And you're supposed to think about it. The technical means is just a way to what? To get the thought process into your mind. Because if you'd be going to work during the entire Shiva, you wouldn't think one second about the loss. But if you're home and sitting on a low floor, that leads you to what? To think, to analysis. So certain mitzvot, the chiyuv is A, and the kiyum is B. So, says Ovadia Yosef, by lulav, he never writes that it's a mitzvah to be machmir and to take a lulav. He never writes that. Because aside from the chiyuv, there is nothing else there. There's a chiyuv to take a lulav, and there's a kiyum to take a lulav. Okay, you're exempt from the chiyuv. You want to do it, be my guest. But you don't have to be machmir to try to do it. But Kriyat Shema has a formal technical process. That's to read these words. Then there is an augmented kiyum of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. And that Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim is a desirable effect, not only for men, but for women as well. So even though technically you are exempt from the formal action, I am asking women to be machmir and to recite the Shema. Now, don't look at the next line yet. Don't look at the next line. So, I would assume, everybody in this room davens every single day. Good. So you'll say the Shema.
You also say Tama Torah.
I'm talking about Shema right now. Good. Is there anything in the davening that you should skip during Shacharis? Is there any vitzivanu to recite the Shema? Do we say Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvotav vitzivanu likro et Shema? Do we? No. If there hold on a second. No, I didn't say that. I prefaced my remarks by saying that why do Chachmei Svarad not want woman to recite a brach on a mitzvah? Because it says that's why I said it's a big shock. It's a big surprise. That's why I'm doing this. And not everyone agrees with him. Hold on. So the normal thing is, that's the way you measure it. If a mitzvah has a bracha which you have to state vitzivanu, women should not say such a bracha. But if there is a mitzvah surrounding another bracha, another mitzvah, that doesn't have the word vitzivanu, then why shouldn't you say that bracha? It's just saying something about the Shema, but it doesn't say, I am obligated to recite the Shema. Ovadia Yosef believes that the rule that women should not recite Birchos Kriya, should not recite a bracha for a Birchos HaMitzvah, for a Mitzvah Seshizman Grama, is even if the word Vitzivanu does not appear. And hence, when you daven after Yishtabach, you skip Berachos Kriya Shema, you say Shema, then you go right to Shimon Esrei. That's what Avad Yosef is going to say. Ve'amnan mi Berachot Kriya Shema hanashim peturot. Women are exempt from the mitzvah of reciting Berachos Kriya Shema. Ve'einan rasha'ot levarech Berachot Kriya Shema b'shem u'malchus. You can say Baruch Atah Yitzarov Melech Olam, but that's not a bracha. Anybody can say that. Baruch Atah Yitzar Amoros. Just don't say Hashem's name. You can't do that.
And so, what's his reason? He's not going to ask the reason.
Because he believes that the reason not to make a bracha is not because of the word Vitzivanu. Any bracha related to a mitzvah, and you are exempt from that particular mitzvah, prohibits you from reciting that particular bracha. That's his extension. This extension does not appear in any Rishon that I can think of. And many Acharonim, Sephardic scholars disagree with it. Many do. And they say, where'd you get this from, Ovadia Yosef? Where'd you get it from? If it says Vitzivanu, the Rambam says, though, you can't do it. Because you're not Mechuyav. But to say, not to say Birchot Kriyashma, it's very, very difficult. And I'll tell you why it's even more difficult. Why are Birchot Shema called Birchot Shema? Not because they happen to be in the same unit as the Shema. It's because each bracha elaborates on a theme of the parsha of the Shema itself. The first parsha of Shema tells you to be Mekabel O Malchut Shemai. So the first bracha tells us, how do you arrive at God being the force of this world? Look at the world of nature. Morabu ma'asecha Hashem, kulam b'chachma asisa mal haaretz kinenecha. Wow. Study biology. And see how intricate and complex the human body is, and how something a little pea, the pituitary gland, it's like a pea, the size of a pea, and it controls 80 vital functions. A little pea. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yotzer or uvoyre choshech. Hamechadesh b'chol yom tuvo ma'aseh bereshit. Just look at the world of ma'aseh bereshit. You'll come to the conclusion there's got to be a Ribore Olam. I once told you the Chavetz Chaim's little trick. Chavetz Chaim, as you well know, traveled all over the place to give Musa. And apparently he was a schmoozer. You know, he went on the train, oh, what's your name? You know, and people, who are you bothering me for? Right? I want to sleep for 2 hours. He says, oh, my name is Yisrael Meir Kayan, and what's your name? Whatever, you know, Moshe Mendel of Ovitz. Moshe says, oh, you're a rabbi? No, I'm not a rabbi. My name's Meir Kayan. So he says, well, do you believe in God? You know? So the guy says, no, I don't believe in the Rabbi Moshe. No. He says, you know what? Do me a favor. We're going to get off at the next stop, wherever we're stopping, and I want you to go to Dutch Boy Paints and buy 10 pans of Cant and 1 oak tag. He says, well, what are you hacking me a cup? Takes out 20 ruble from his pocket. He says, go to Dutch Boy Paints and buy 10 cans of paint. And then open up the 10 cans of paint and kick them over, and I want the Mona Lisa to come out. So I want the Mona Lisa to come out. So Moshe says to the Chavetz Chaim, he says, what, are you crazy? A painting like the Mona Lisa is going to come out by kicking over 10 cans of paint? You need an artist who knows how to mix colors and to apply the brush firmly and gently. Then you can come up with a painting. So he says, don't you believe that this world is a little more complex than the Mona Lisa? If you don't believe that there can be a creator of a painting without a painter, how could this world be created without an architect and an engineer and a designer? It's impossible. That's Chabad Chaim. Just think about the world of nature. The second bracha focuses why I should be mekabel ol mitzvot. Because habocher ba'amo Yisrael bi'ahava. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected Am Yisrael for a higher calling. That's what he did. There was Bechirat Yisrael. And he gave Ha'er Einenu B'Toratecha V'Dabek Libeinu B'Mitzvotecha. So when I understand that Am Yisrael has a unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Am HaNivchar, you recognize I have to observe mitzvot. And why? What is about the third parsha? Why do we say the parsha of tzitzis? Not because of the mitzvah of tzitzis, because of the last line. Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeisi etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim. So the last bracha elaborates on the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mi Mitzrayim ge'altanu, mi beit avadim piditanu, kol b'chareyam haragta, v'chorchi Yisrael ga'olta, v'echasu v'ayim Yisrael, echot v'hem loinoy sar. What happens? Now I understand why I say the third parsha of Shema. So the functions of Birchos Kriya Shema are not designed to highlight the obligation to recite the mitzvah of Shema. They're designed to give us a perspective how I can accomplish the underlying kiyum of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And therefore it is illogical to claim that a woman should recite the Shema and it come to the conclusion of Kabbalat O Malchut Shemayim without what? Without the guidance and the perspective of looking at Masa Bereishis. There is difficulty in expecting someone to accept Kabbalat O Mitzvot unless you hammer home the nature, the notion that what? Habocher Bamo Yisrael Bihava. So he, Ovadia Yosef, is very, very difficult, and hence he claims, under those circumstances, you should not recite it. I'll give you another illustration. Ovadia Yosef says you don't say Baruch Shaman Yishtabach. Why? You're not obligated to say Psukkah Zimra necessarily. You're obligated to daven. Who said you have to say Psukkah Zimra? Shimon Esrei, that's the mitzvah of the... So say Psukkah Zimra. What do you have to say? Is there anything that says Hashem Kedishan Vitzotav Vitzivan Lomar Psukkah Zimra? Doesn't say it any place. So he takes this very hard-line approach, and as I said, most even Sephardic scholars, but he's someone to be reckoned with, obviously, and he made a big splash with this particular, extending the halacha that Nashim ein mivarchot al mitzvot asheshes man grama, and Ovadia Yosef normally carries the day for all Sephardic Jewry, because the Rambam said no bracha. However, Ashkenazic Jewry disagreed with both of them. The Ashkenazic world says absolutely not. So first go to page 4. And he, in a tshuva attributed to Rashi, in what's called Sidur Rashi, it's part of the Sefer HaPardes, Kach Hore Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi Zatzal. Rabbeinu Yitzchak was one of Rashi's three Rabbeim. Rashi was very fortunate that his family did not allow him to attend the academies of Mainz and Worms and Spire. Because had he attended, he would have been killed like everybody else. Rashi's family were winemakers, and they wanted Rashi in the place to do some work. So he did not go to school. He had private Rabbeim. He identifies who his Rabbeim are. One is Rabbi Yitzchak, another is Rabbi Yaakov Ben Yakar, and a third one is a Rabbi Eliezer. He identifies who they are. He had three personal Rabbeim. And that's how we were lucky to get Rashi. Rashi's commentary on the Talmud was not intended for publication. He wrote a pamphlet for his workers, who all had to be Jewish, because they handled wine, couldn't have Gentile employees. And his father, Yitzchak, wanted all the employees to learn something as well. So whatever Gemara Rashi was learning with his Rebbe, he wrote some notes on. And when you got to work, a job in Rashi's factory, you got two pamphlets. One, your working hours, your insurance policy, and your days off. And the other one is, here's a copy of what I'm learning today. Rashi revised his pamphlet three times. And fortunately for this world, a printer found one of them. And he printed it in the Gemara. That's how Rashi's Perush came about. And that's why Tosfos calls it the Kuntres. It's been explained in the pamphlet. Because that's how Rashi was there. He was known as a pamphlet. That's what it does. So one of his Rashi paskin, Kacho Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi, She'ein mon'in hanashim levarech al lulav v'sukah. Don't stop women from what? Now, if Rashi has to tell you that, what will you say, historian? That there were people who were saying that what? You should stop them. Don't allow them to do any mitzvah. You have to glean that. The ha'amrinan, the ha'da amrinan, mitzvah se shizman grama nashim p'turot, La'afuke de'einan chayavot ve'einan srichot. Do not be misled as some of my colleagues were, that you're not allowed to observe a mitzvah. All it means you don't have to, but you're not obligated. Aval im chafetzot lavo atzman b'mitzvot harishut biyada ve'ein mochin la. Dilogara, it's not any worse. Mimi she'eino mitzuveva osa. Anybody who's exempt, like according to the Chachamim, according to Chachamim, about a Summa. A Summa is exempt from all mitzvot. So if a Summa wants to perform a mitzvah, he can do so. But he's not chayav. Umeachar demikayemet. Once she does take a lulav, mitzvahi, ve'i efshar la below bracha. Once you're doing a mitzvah, it can't be done without a bracha. Of course you have to recite the bracha. I'll tell you why.
Mitzvah means mitzvah.
No, but why do you have to make a bracha? Because a bracha gives us perspective.
It gives you permission.
No. That's not the way Rashi says. It gives you perspective to think, what am I doing now? What am I doing? I'm taking a palm tree for waving it. What significance does it have? None. Other than the fact that what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's a mitzvah.
Right, you could just take a palm anytime and hold it.
Correct, and it does nothing.
Right. So
how do you acknowledge that what I'm doing today is a mitzvah? Mm-hmm. By declaring, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav, and vitzivanu means what? Klal Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
You are Kodesh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael. All of Israel. Some mitzvot women are exempt from. But you're still part of Klal Yisrael and can and should say the bracha, says Rashi. Hold on, I want to show you how he's going to prove this. Wow, how he's going to prove it. Teda. Proof. I'm going to prove it. Dehorta amrinan, hakol olin leminyan shiv'a afilu nashim. He's quoting a Mishnah in Megillah 24a, where the Mishnah says, everybody can be one of the seven aliyot every Shabbat morning, even women. Hakol olin leminyan shiva afilu isha. A woman is allowed to get an aliyah. That's what it says in the Mishnah. The Gemara says she should not read Mnei Kvodat Tzibur. I'm not going to get into what Kvodat Tzibur means. But the Mishnah says, Nashim Olot Leminyan Shiva. Alma Isha Ola Umivarechet. Now when you call up this woman in the Mishnah's time, what does that mean? She's going to say Berachas HaTorah. Are they obligated to learn? No. Afalgav diptura mi Talmud Torah. Even though women are exempt from Talmud Torah, how do I know? Mivili maditem otamet b'neichem l'daber bam. And the drashes, as we learned in Kedushin, b'neichem v'lo b'notechem. Shinmem shma mina. We derive from here imratzta l'kayem mitzvata say. If she wants to fulfill a positive commandment, harishut biyada. The license is with, the permission is with her. Ve'ein kan mishum bracha levatala. That's not called a bracha levatala under these circumstances.
What's the reasoning?
He just says.
Why is it not?
Because the word vitzivanu doesn't mean me personally. It's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving Klal Yisrael this mitzvah. And I'm a member of Klal. You are a member of Klal Yisrael.
Shema Yisrael.
What?
You say Shema Yisrael. Doesn't say Shema Anashim.
What does that mean? An Yisrael means Jew. Every Jew.
So therefore, women should be.
But it says mitzvah says Shema Grama. If you wanted me to come up with an excuse to mandate, I could have mandated it. But the Gemara doesn't say that. But we're operating what the Gemara says. So he. Go right ahead.
I like the logic of the fact that if you just take a little bit on the Gebracha, it doesn't mean anything. So how does that relate to, like, on Shemini Atzeres, where we sit in a circle around the Gebracha? So that should be nothing.
It's a good question, but I can spend hours to explain why you sit in the Sukkot. I can explain it. Not now.
Exactly.
Not now. Yes.
Okay, but if you take the Abraminim tonight, I go home and take the Abraminim.
It's worthless.
It's worthless. And I know I'm just picking them up. But if I'm standing in my sukkah, and it's the first day of sukkah, I have in my mind, I'm doing this because it says, we'll have someone do it.
So,
when I say the bracha or not, I know.
But the bracha is the thing that frames it for us. What makes sure that you're aware of the fact? Why did anybody introduce a berachas hamitzvah in the first place? Why do you have to make a bracha when you say a mitzvah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you, what if they're bracha? The bracha is introduced to give us a minute to think before we're going to do something, instead of it's done in a perfunctory manner anyhow. But at least it gives us a 10-second chance. Think about it for a second. What am I about to do? I'm doing a mitzvah which the Rabbeinu Shel Olam asked me to do.
It
right? It gives you some structure. Gives you a chance to think about it. Now, you can disagree with Rashi, his analogy, in 2 seconds. It's very easy to disagree with Rashi's comparison to Tiryas HaTorah, which, as you well know, the most famous one is, of course, the Maharam Rutenberg, who described the following case. There is a minyan in shul of 10 Kohanim. How are you going to call up anybody for 7 aliyot? You call up Kayan number 1, he gets Kayan. There's no Levi. So what do? The first Kohen gets Bimkum Kohen. Good. Now what happens? Yisrael. If you call up another Kohen for Yisrael, what will people think? He's a desecrated Kohen. That's why he's getting Yisrael. So you're not allowed to call up a Kohen for a non, for Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, and Shishi, and Shvi. You're not allowed to. So ask the Mamre Rebbe, how are you going to have Kriyas HaTorah? He said, call up women. Then the Mamre Rebbe, call up women. That's all. Call up women. That's all. We know that the women should, but I got no choice. I'm going to rely on the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, Nashim Olot Leminyan Shiva. Now, I'm telling you, many Rishonim, although agreeing with Rashi's principle that women can recite a Birchat HaMitzvah, say the analogy to Kriyas HaTorah is not accurate. I'll tell you why. Let me ask you the question. Am I obligated to go to shul tomorrow morning to hear Kriyas HaTorah? I have an absolute chiyuv to hear Kriyas HaTorah tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday. No, I don't. Because if I did, I'm going to frame it against two mitzvot. On Purim Day, am I obligated to hear the Megillah?
No. Okay.
Yes, everybody is. Did you ever see a man not come to shul on Purim Day? Never. Because you're obligated. Yet, most people don't go to shul during the week. Litzari harav. Most people don't go to... So you know, when I go to Borough Park, I love it. Because there's not one man who doesn't go to shul every day. Every day. I love seeing that. And I always pray that one day we should never have to daven in the Beit Midrash. We should have to use the main synagogue every day of the year. It's not happening so fast. So why don't I have to read? Come tomorrow. It's Chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah. Because there is no Chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaMegillah is a chova upon every person. So you have to go out of your way to make sure you hear it. Kriyas HaTorah is a halach in a tzibur. If there is a minyan assembled on a Thursday morning, read the Torah. And if there is no minyan assembled, don't read the Torah. But there is no individual chiyuv upon anybody to read the Torah, according to most authorities. Therefore, with that information in mind, tell me why Kriyas HaTorah doesn't really fit the bill in terms of bringing any proof.
Nobody
has a chiyuv. It's just, if there's a tzibur present, you read. Well, if there's a tzibur and a woman, if there are 10, tzibur can only be formed by 10 men. But once the tzibur is, okay, so a woman will read too.
But once you're reading, you have to say the bracha that God commanded us correct to read it.
So but no, we don't say a shekid ishan of itzotav tzivana when you get an aliyah. That you say in the morning. That's you say ashebacha banu mikolam v'natan lanu torato.
That's true.
So there is a special takana that when you read the Torah in public, there is a bracha. Not because anybody's chayiv. When you read the Torah, even though you made your own personal Birchot HaTorah 15 minutes ago, as we pointed out last week, you have to make another Birchas HaTorah. So this doesn't shed any light on a mitzvah where there is a chayiv to do this mitzvah, and you, the woman, are exempt from that mitzvah. So although many of Rashi's friends agree with Rashi's psak that women must make a berachas, are allowed to make a berachas hamitzvah, his proof from the Gemara in Megillah leaves a little to be desired. Because Kriyas HaTorah is not the proto-stake of what? Of a mitzvah where you're obligated to observe and women are exempt. No. Nobody is chayef in Kriyas HaTorah. Nobody. Okay. I just in case you'll be in, let's see, where do you go shopping? And the farmers in the see the market, and somebody's standing online, and somebody taps, is there a chayef in Kriyas HaTorah? So there is a, Rab Chaim believed that there is a chayef upon everybody to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Rav Chaim believed that, the Rav's grandfather. And when he traveled across Europe, he got off the train every single time on a Monday and Thursday just to hear Kriyas HaTorah. And if he didn't get there on time in the morning, he would get off the train at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, assemble 10 Jews, and let's read Kriyas HaTorah. But he was a minority. Most don't agree with Rav Chaim.
What about for certain special parshiyot?
Parsha Zohar.
Right.
That's it.
That's
nothing else.
The woman could be called up for that.
Yeah, but you're obligated to Parsha Zohar. Assuming that you're obligated to read Parsha Zohar, you could be called up for that too.
Yeah.
Well, there's a debate whether women are obligated to mitzvah Parsha Zohar. That's a different issue. But assuming you are, you could be called up. Yes?
Why wouldn't women be obligated in that?
So the Chinuch says you're exempt. Why? Because the mitzvah is to eradicate Amalek. Soldiers have to fulfill that mitzvah. Men are called upon to serve in Tzahal, according to Torah law. Women are exempt from military service.
But then a man who's over the age of service...
It's a category. It's a category of a person. It's a category of a person. Category.
So if this is...
Yes.
On
the Yachid, saying that well, good.
So, does that mean that the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah for the individual man is the same as the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah for the individual women?
Correct. Neither of us are chayim. That's correct. If you are in shul and there is a minyan, that minyan has to hear the Torah being read. That's it. Yes.
So that for the purpose of an aliyah in such a context, the women and the men are the same.
Correct. That's why the Mishnah says that women can be called up. That's precisely the reason. Let's assume for a moment women would not be obligated to read the Megillah. Could you read the Megillah for a man?
No.
So, but the problem is, but here, no one's obligated. It's not an obligation issue. That's why according to that same Mishnah in Megillah, a minor can read. A minor is allowed to be called up for an aliyah. A minor.
And there's no
is a minor obligated to mitzvot?
Nope.
How can he discharge the community obligation? The answer is, there is no obligation.
So why do we make such a big deal about being called up?
Because there's a Gemara and a Shulchan Aruch and a don't think bottom line.
No, that's it.
Okay. I'm talking about the pure, pristine Mishnah, which children are allowed to have an aliyah. So in some shuls, they will at least allow a child to have maftir, even below bar mitzvah, because it only says even the Gemara says they should. It means for the seven obligate. Maftir is like a repeat of the. When I was 11 years old, I had a maftir. Parshas Lech Lecha. Never forget. Lama Somar Yaakov. My father was the rabbi. My uncle was the rabbi, and we had. Go ahead. Wanted to have an aliyah. When I was 11 years old, I had my first maftir.
Can women read Megillah for a man?
Of course, according to the Rambam. And that's the halachic right position. Shouldn't say that. The Bahag said, for some reason, the women's obligation is on a lower level than men. Men are obligated to read, and women only are obligated to listen. That's what the Bahag said. And of course, the Ramah, in the Ashkenaziger, quoted that opinion. The Rambam says women can read for men. No problem. Lichatchila. No problem, because you're equal. And it's difficult to say, quoting one great goon, what little bird whispered in the Bahag's ears to create such a difference? There is no indication anywhere in Talmud Bavli or Yerushalmi that there should be a difference in the obligation level. Difference. And therefore, Al Pidin, there is no doubt that a woman can read the Megillah for a man. In Ashkenazic circles, we respect the Ramah, and we don't do so. We do not do so. Because the Ramah said not to.
Right.
Yes.
The Hag is not quoted by Karl, it's by the Ramah.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
In terms of Rabbi Yosef, why would he, it seems like he's almost bending over backward to make women not do certain things, which is so hard to understand because... you know, these are, the women are half, first of all, they're half the population, right? Next of all, they're the mother of the sons, too. And for us not to say, it's almost like he's bending it as much as he can that, to take away things.
So there are,
the Ashkenazim seem to be trying to give as much as
possible. So there are, within the halakha, there are two answers to your question. Let's take the traditional answer. God forbid for anybody to assume that a great halachic authority takes personal things into the consideration when he makes a psak halacha. He believes that this is the halacha.
I understand
that. That's, no. But what's the... Your attitude towards women often makes a difference of how you paskin. Sephardic men had a different look at what Sephardic women are. Just look how far they walk behind them in the street. I'm serious. Sephardic men look at women as second... It's not only Sephardic. It's Arab culture. The Muslim world and Arab culture look at women... Women don't eat together with men. In the, you go to an Arab little... It's the men eating alone, the women eating. It's part of... That rubbed off on culture. It rubbed off. There's no doubt about it. I'll give you, you know, I have to watch my words carefully. Carefully. So many of the harchakot of Hilchos Nida, those are cultural things. Cultural things. You mean to tell me in a Western civilization society, can you pass me the salt? That means, hey, let's go to bed? That's what it means? Nothing further from the truth. So why does Caro write that when a wife is in need, he shouldn't ask his wife to pass the salt? Because in his time, in that Muslim culture which he lived in, what happened? Any interaction whatsoever between during a meal was a signal, let's take it to the next step further. Let's take it to the next step further. So cultural factors creep into what? Into the halakha. There's no doubt about it. No doubt. And you might be right that influenced or had, not consciously, but subconsciously, had an impact on how he decided to come to that conclusion. And you're right, there is a very big difference between Ashkenazic treatment of women and Sephardic treatment. There is, there's no doubt. But in the Ovadia Yosef Yeshiva, they will tell you, God forbid. He's just look at the sources, and he came to the conclusion, this is the case. Yeah, now, let's take a look at Tosfos. I agree with you. I agree with you.
I don't say this, I do say this. I don't say this, I do say this.
Because the Sephardic women don't care. You have
but that's bad. Okay. Because they
were
raising.
I have another question.
That's not good.
Right. No, they have... Right.
Right, you taught in DL. I mean, now it's changing, but it used to be... Not
they don't
good.
Care.
But now
they really don't.
But it's changing.
Okay, because they realized what happened to a generation of where there's no interest in religious life at all. That's
but
what happened.
Let's face it, in the home a lot comes from the mother.
I know. But their home is, their perception of home is, take care of the motherly responsibilities in the house. Nothing else. You know, we've changed a little, but...
Not all of us.
Hasidim Yeshivish people also believe the same. Right?
Very much so. No doubt about it. No doubt.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
The Kriya Satorah.
Yes. See, it really bothers you.
Yeah. So there's... Is there no element of a Hasman Groma in that Chiyuv on the Tzibur? I mean, it only takes place 2 days a week. If you wouldn't do it on a Tuesday...
No, that's correct. But that plays no bearing because mitzvah sasir zman grama is only a criteria on a person. No, on personal obligation mitzvot.
I see. Okay.
On personal obligation mitzvot.
Doesn't apply.
Doesn't apply. That is correct. Okay. Does not apply. Does not apply. So takes a when you say Hallel on Yom Tov of Avi Yosef says you don't say Asher Kedushan says only Kroata Hallel, and you don't conclude Melech Mulo Avatish Bachot. Because it's a Zman Grama. They don't say Hallel today, only on Yantiv. So when you say Hallel, don't you dare say the Bracha of Likro Tahalel. Don't you dare. Don't say Melech Mulo Batish Bachot, because you're not Chayiv in the midst of Hallel. Only Midrabbana. only because you have a right to do so. Not midrabbanan even. Let's take a look, at least to start, an interesting Gemara and a Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah. If you take a look, at least to get the groundwork for it, if you take a look at the first wide line of the Gemara, towards the end of the last words, the three last words of the first wide line, which says, Ein me'akvin et ha'tinokot milit koah. This is talking about Rosh Hashanah, and you have a three-year-old pisher in the house, and he wants to blow shofar. Says the Mishnah, don't stop a child on Rosh Hashanah from blowing shofar. Now, why does the Mishnah have to tell me you don't have to stop him? What inference might you want to say? Why? Tell me why you should stop a kid from blowing shofar. Tell me why. Tell me why you should stop a kid from blowing shofar. That I have to have a mission to tell me don't stop. Why would I think you should stop? He's not mechuyev, he's a kid. And so what? So what's so terrible,
Sobo? Yeah, so it's like making music or instruments.
It might be exactly. Maybe since it produces sound, we have a gzeira midrabanan about using anything on Shabbos that produces sound. The Ramah says on Shabbos you should not use the knocker on the door. Knocker on the door. But that's but on the mitzvah of, when Rosh Hashanah comes out, that the Rabbanan doesn't apply. The Torah says blow shofar. You can't override that by saying the Torah says don't. So fine, very nice. So I could have had in mind that what? Maybe you should tell the kid, don't give me a headache, no blowing shofar today. Says the Mishnah, you're allowed to. Look at the inference of the Gemara. Hanashim ma'akfin. It only says don't stop kids from blowing, who are patur. What about women who are patur? Maybe if a woman picks up a shofar, I should tell her, put that shofar down. For Hotanya, we learned it a brighter. Ein ma'akvin, lo et hanashim, velo et hatinokot, militko abiyamtov. We don't stop either children or women. So then, how could you possibly infer from the Mishnah that because it says you do not stop children, what do you infer? That you do stop women. That seems to be contradicted by the Braita. Answers the Gemara, Omar Abaye, Loikash. No question. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, that's one side. Ha Rabbi Yossi v'Reb Shimon. The Mishnah and the Braita reflect two different authors. One is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, the other one is authored by Yossi Reb Shimon. The Sanya we learned in the Braita. Daber el b'nei Yisrael somchin ve'ein b'not Yisrael somchot divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We are talking about here, with this we close today, making smicha on an animal. When you bring a korban, the Torah says, v'samach yado al rosh hapar. You lean on it with your full weight, and you say vidui, confession unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, since the parsha of korban is introduced, daber al b'nei Yisrael, he comes up with this halacha that women don't make smicha. Because it's B'nai Yisrael and not B'nai Yisrael. Even though women bring korbanot. So it's an extremely difficult opinion that only one detail of what? One detail of a mitzvah, women should be precluded. They bring a korban, you're allowed to shecht your own korban, but you can't make smicha. But that's what he says.
Does he use B'nai Yisrael for everything? I mean, that's used all the time.
It is such a difficult opinion. Difficult opinion. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omerim, Nashim Somchot Rashut. They want to make smicha, they can't. They don't want to make smicha, you don't have to. Fine. So now our Gemara says, that the two, the Mishnah and the Braita, about allowing women to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, reflect their opinions. The opinion of the Mishnah that says you stop a woman, or the inferences that you stop a woman from blowing shofar, that must be Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda said, don't allow women to make smicha, don't allow women to blow shofar. And he will say, he is the basis of what broad statement? Any mitzvah which a woman is not obligated to do? Don't. No, beyond that. Don't allow him to do it. Don't let him blow shofar. Don't let him make smicha. Rabbi Yossi says, no. You can let a woman blow shofar. Why? Even though she's not obligated, but you can let her blow. That's the Gemara. There's a long Tosfos right here with Jay Brack. We're not going to do all of it. We're not doing any of it now. It's late. Which talks about this issue about whether can women, do I want to, some of his, the Balei HaTosfos said, Rabbi Yehuda's right. Women are not allowed to do any mitzvah saseishes man grama. The Rabbeinu Tam will say, forget about it, you're wrong. And then he'll talk about what? The opportunity to make a bracha as well. And some of his illustrations are just as difficult as Rashi's. To be continued.